I love worship like that because you sort of get your exercise too. Just I do. I've sweated. I've got my cardio in. Check my heart rate. I'm doing all right. As my wife shared with you that she would have been happy to preach this morning since it was Father's Day, but if you give a guy like me a chance to preach, do you think I'm going to say no? Thank you. Thank you very, very much. I have to say, since I was here last, there's been two additions to the worship team, and I love them.
Amen.
I love them. That's outstanding. It really is. This morning, we're going to talk about a subject that I think is, I hope you'll enjoy it, especially I hope you'll enjoy the title after we get through it. The title of my message is Living in Denial. Something we're all very good at, we think. But we're going to take a little bit of a twist on it this morning. We're going to talk about change. Is there anybody here that would like to change something in their lives? Oh, yeah, yeah. And the rest of you are lying. I should have added, and it's the same thing, to become more like Jesus. Yeah, yeah. We all want to. And I believe it is a lifelong process. It is. It's a lifelong process. We're going to be going through it till either he returns or we go to be with him. But I do believe there are also some parts of that that are very, very key. And thankfully, Scripture gives us examples of where transformation took place. And I think we can really learn from that. And I do not have message notes, so you aren't going to have to be able to follow. You're just going to actually open your Bibles and follow along with me. And I think that's great. By the way, Pastor Sherry wanted me to make sure I 100% encourage. She said that that you guys are doing a great job reading through your Bibles this year. In fact, I cannot say how great that is and continue to encourage you to do so. It just it transforms us. That's one of the things that does change, and it's very, very important and key. And so she sends her encouragement, and so do I. What we're going to look at in Luke 22, 61 and 62 are going to be the verses we jump off from, and we're going to keep coming back to them this morning also. Luke 22, 61 and 62. Yeah, it kind of rhymes, doesn't it? One that's familiar to us. And I will give credit where credit is due in this message. I've been reading through this book, The Believer's Absolute Surrender by Andrew Murray. If you want a fantastically convicting read, where at times you actually want to throw the book away, because it is so challenging and convicting, it is superb. And really, it came from my reading of that. So Luke 22, 61 and 62. Then the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. And Peter remembered what the Lord had said, "Before the rooster crows this day, you will say three times that you don't know me." Then Peter went outside and cried or wept bitterly. That's an encouraging scripture to start with, isn't it? I hope you will see yes as we get into it. Excuse me. This scripture, in many ways, describes the turning point of Peter's life in some very, very key elements. Jesus had said to him earlier during the Last Supper, found in John 13, 3 through 6, where Jesus was beginning to say, "I've got to go now, it's time to suffer, to die. And you know, I've got to go, and where I'm going, you cannot come." And Peter said, "Lord, why can't we follow?" And he looked at him and said, "Peter, you cannot follow me now. You cannot follow me now. There'll come a time when you will." And I believe the reason that he couldn't is Peter didn't know. He wasn't able to follow Jesus because he didn't understand some of the things yet that Jesus had been teaching. He had not been brought to the end of himself, Peter. He didn't really know himself and he couldn't follow Jesus. But when this other time came where he went out and wept bitterly, Peter really began to understand himself. And it was at that point that a transformation took place, that from then on, he could follow. Jesus had said also previously to him in Luke 22:32, Peter, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. When you're converted, when you're changed, strengthen your brethren. Jesus knew what was going to happen to Peter. And so he was prophesying, telling him ahead of time, when that change happens, you come back and strengthen. And so that's what Peter knew he needed to do, and it's at that verse where it happened. How many people, do you enjoy Peter? How many people enjoy him? One of your favorite characters? Me too. He's a great guy. He's a great guy. And we're going to look at some, review some of this, and I hope give some more insight into some of what made Peter great. He was an incredible guy because he had such character, and yet he was so full of failure. We can relate. At least I can. You know, and yet we see what Jesus made of him because he was willing to be with Christ, to spend time with Christ, and let Jesus do the work in him that needed to be done. So I think we're going to look at four aspects of Peter. We're going to look at him as a devoted disciple of Jesus. We're going to look at him as he really lived a life of self. He was full of self. Third, in his repentance. And fourth, in his deliverance from self. And as we go through, I hope that you can relate. And I challenge you and encourage you to try and say, where can I relate to that story or that aspect of Peter? Because I think we all should be able to, and I think it's necessary, as you see, to be able to go through the same process he did, to be able to be changed and used by God the way we all want to. First of all, Peter, as a devoted disciple of Jesus, and he was. What did Jesus said, Peter, follow me. And what did Peter do? Yes, sir. Boom. He left everything. Just dropped it. Sometimes we think we get to the point where we forget how much these guys really did do. Here's a guy that, sure, they probably heard of him and knew of him, but he just walked by and said, follow me. And they dropped everything. How many of us would be willing to? In his current situation, follow me now. Peter did. He forsook all of his net. He dropped it. He forsook everything. And he very truthfully could say, we've forsaken all and followed thee. He was a man of entire surrender. He was a man of true obedience. He obeyed Jesus. Remember when Jesus showed up and he said, Peter, launch out into the deep and cast your nets on that side. Now, Jesus was a carpenter. Peter was a fisherman. Peter had been out fishing all night. I don't know about you, but I may have had a tendency. I didn't catch anything all night, Lord, and I'm a fisherman. So, you know, you're a carpenter and you're great, you're wonderful, but kind of stick with wood. It might have been a tendency, but that isn't what he said. He said, Lord, at your word, I will do it. I will obey. He did, and look at the result. He obeyed. He obeyed. That's awesome. He also was a man of great faith. Of great faith, and this is in Matthew 14:28. Matthew 14:28. When it's in the middle of the storm, and all of a sudden they see what it looks like, a ghost or something walking on the water. Walking on the water. And if there's one of the miracles of Jesus that I would love to do, that's it. But I'd like to do all of them, and I know that's the cool thing, it's possible. So I'm still waiting for that day when, you know what? I come to Port Townsend, the ferry line stretches all the way back to Port Ludlow. It's all right, family, come on. Just going to take a little walk across. Wouldn't that be cool? A long walk, but, you know, I think we'd gather some attention if we were doing that. But Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And Jesus said, get out. And he did. And he walked on water. He walked on water. That took faith. It took courage. It took belief. It took, yes, I know who he is, and I trust him. He also was a man of incredible spiritual insight. Matthew 16:15-17, Jesus is talking to his disciples and say, who do men say that I am? And they said, some say, you know, went through the whole thing. And then he said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter, right away, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I said, flesh and blood hath not revealed it to you, but my Father in heaven. But Peter was willing to open his mouth. One of his greatest attributes and one of his greatest weaknesses. Literally. He was willing to open his mouth and open it right away. But he had an incredible, and I'm sure all of you, if I talk to you about your walk of faith, your journey with Christ, some may be just beginning, some may not have started, some may be in this for a long time, but you can probably relate to each kind of one of these, being a man of great spiritual insight at some point, or great faith, where you stepped out and you really made something happen. And I look back in my life, and I look back at times, and I go, when we ended up leaving Pullman in 2001, and I moved to Maui. We moved to Maui, and I moved to Maui with wife and three daughters, and no job, none. And so I can either, and I still am not 100% sure, so I don't know if this is the best example, but I don't know if that was a move of great faith or really one of the stupidest things I've ever done. Scared me. It broke me, and so I know God used it to build my trust in Him. So I thank Him for that. But I could talk to each one of you, and there have been times when that's just, yeah. And and Peter, he had to kind of go, yeah, okay, I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. These things are happening, and I'm enjoying it. And he did all that. And yet, when you look at him also, there was so much of self still in him. Again, right after, he goes through the, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you." Then Jesus starts talking about, you know what, now it's time for me to go up to Jerusalem, where I'll be handed over, and I'll be beaten, I'll be crucified. But Peter, remember, he's kind of on a spiritual high at this point. He's going, I'm hearing from God. My Father and the Father in heaven is revealing things to me. And so what does he do? He kind of takes Jesus aside. He says, Lord, no, sorry, that's not it. Far be it. No, let's just go there real quick. Matthew 16. And we'll see. I believe Peter, probably believing that, like I said, he's hearing from God. He took Jesus aside and told him not to talk like that. He said, God save you from those things. Lord, those things will never happen to you. And so again, picture, here he said this, Jesus has said, flesh and blood hath not revealed you, my Father is in heaven, and Peter's writing. And so he's expecting the next words out of Jesus' mouth to be, whoa, Peter, you're right. Gosh, thank you for giving me the word of the Lord today. But instead, what comes out of Jesus' mouth? Get thee behind me, Satan. That's kind of the spiritual roller coaster there for Peter, don't you think? Done a lot of things to brothers and sisters in the Lord, but I still have yet when one of them comes up and encourages me to look at them and say, get thee behind me, Satan. That's a way to build up one another, isn't it? How to build a church. But that's what Peter got. Because Peter, why? Why did he get that? It's because Peter was trusting in his own wisdom. Peter trusted in his own thoughts about the divine. Peter thought he knew more than Jesus. He knew a better way, a better plan. And we see again that when the disciples later on were fighting amongst themselves about who's going to be the greatest, who's the most important. Glad we don't have any problems like that today in the church, aren't you? Who's going to be? Well, I'm the more important one. Peter was right in there. He thought he had a right to first place, and doggone it, he probably did. Look at all the wonderful things he'd done. He was right up there. He was top dog. He was one of those three that were really important. We see when Jesus spoke to him about the sufferings that he was going to go through, and he told Peter, get thee behind me right away, then he follows it up with this. Jesus said to his followers, if people want to follow me, they must give up the things they want, or they must deny themselves. They must deny themselves. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. What does that mean? Right in that context, what does that mean? Jesus was saying, unless you are willing to deny yourself, you can't follow him. Self must be utterly denied. Now, fast forward to when Peter denied Christ. When he did it three times. And it got progressively, if you've ever seen it, actually acted out or portrayed, and I believe it's true. It was the first time I was kind of, no, I don't know it. And I believe he progressively got a little bit more vehement with each time. Literally, he was, I do not know the man! No! I have nothing to do with him! Nothing! He was that vehement in his denial of Christ. That vehemence, that strength is what we need to do when it comes to self. I believe the pattern there, the way Peter denied Jesus, is the way that we need to learn to deny self. When presented with something where we know here's Christ's way, here's self's way. That we say, I don't know you. I don't know you. I have nothing to do with you. Get away from me. Just ignore it. Like the time when I was in junior high. It's hard to believe that there was a time when I was less sanctified than I am now. Junior high, there was a place up on the track behind a shed where the, smokers would go. And we're up there as a gang, and all of a sudden then we'd hear the word that one of the teachers is coming up. And we'd all flare out, go to different places, and we'd do that, and we'd run away. And then, because to get back to school, we'd have to walk by right where it was. And then you'd get as a group, and the teacher caught one of your friends. And they're there talking to them. And as you walk by, you kind of, I don't know them. Who were they? I've never seen them before. That's kind of what we need to do with self. I don't know him. But the challenge, and I find in my own life, the challenge is self is sometimes pretty comfortable. Self's pretty inviting. Self's the kind of warm blanket that we're used to. And it's a whole lot easier to just go to self. Or flesh, whatever you want to call it, because it gives us that momentary satisfaction of, oh yeah, I feel good again. But Jesus was pretty clear. Deny self. And I see in that example of Peter that with the vehemence that he did, if we will do that with self, we'll begin to understand what that just that power that's there. Because Peter, it's interesting. He had said earlier, when the Lord predicted his betrayal, Peter said, Lord, though all should forsake thee, I won't. I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. And I believe when Peter said that, he meant it with all his heart. He was 100% sincere when he told Christ that. I don't think he was lying. He just didn't know himself. He didn't know what was in him, really. He didn't know the self that was still there. And oh, I read that and I could so relate. I'm never going to do that, whatever it is, again. But I know it's wrong. I'm never, ever going to do it again. And then guess what? I do it again. And I just, I'm never going to do that again. And yet we do. And yet we do because we don't know ourselves. What do we do with that flesh? And you notice it's interesting. Jesus used that word deny twice in this context. He said to Peter the first time, deny self if you're going to follow me. He said to Peter the second time, thou wilt deny me. And it comes down to it, quite honestly, that in circumstances that we face, where we have a choice about what we know is what Christ wants or what the flesh wants, we do one or the other. We either deny self or we deny Christ. And I am ashamed to say how many times I know I've chosen self over Christ. But as I looked at that and read through that, I thought, oh my gosh, that's what I'm doing. When I choose self, I'm denying Jesus. I'm denying His power. I'm denying His provision to help me walk free. And so much of the time, it's because I don't know what's really still there inside of me. That self, that flesh, where sin lies, is one area where there is Christ in us, the power of God. That's the other, and it's, you know, that whole story of what are you going to feed? Now, I know we've got a nature that's been renewed, and water baptism, and it gives us that new nature. We're renewed, we've got it, but you know what? There's still that self that still loves to show up and try and ruin the party. That's where learning, and that's where reading Scripture, that's where prayer, that's where worship, we're doing the things that you guys are doing, gives that strength, that relationship that helps you make right choices. Third aspect of Peter in his repentance. Peter denied Jesus three times. And then, and oh, I wish I could have been there. And then what happened? He denied him three times. And then the third time that rooster crowed. And then you remember what happened? Jesus looked at him. Put yourself in Peter's shoes. You know, all of us know, and with my three daughters, and of course, I know it's probably going to be a surprise, but my daughters sometimes fight with each other. I'm sorry. I'll leave now. Okay. But if you could see the looks they give each other. And they think we can't, they just think we can't see them. Mom and Dad, if I don't say anything, Mom and Dad don't know I'm mad at you. You were supposed to do that and you didn't. I don't believe that was anything like the look Jesus gave Peter. I don't think there was any condemnation. No anger, no I told you so. I think it was just love. If you've ever been in a situation where you've done something wrong, and your mom, your dad, your spouse, or your daughter, and I know for me, when I promised we'll do something, and then circumstances arise that I choose that we can't do it, the look that you get, that just goes. You know, sometimes you get in trouble and mom or dad or spouse looks at you. And sometimes you wish they get angry. You wish they yell. It would be a lot easier than just the look of. And you just go, don't look at me. She's too convicting. I believe that was personified a billion times in that look. In the midst of his suffering, in the midst of being what was going on in Jesus' life, he took the time to find Peter and look at him with that. That's when we see Peter went out and wept bitterly. Because that look exposed the sin. That look exposed the self that was still so evident in Peter. And then just put yourself in that situation over the next 3 days. What do you think Peter went through? Now again, remember, they weren't on to this, and we can look back in 2,000 years retrospect and say, boy, those disciples were slow. Peter, yeah, Jesus had told them he was coming back. Huh? They should have been having a party, getting excited. But that's a little unfair. You ever had Jesus speak something to you in your heart and maybe you kind of forget it? Don't hang on to it? I think he was lost. Here's this guy who's given so much to him, had loved him and taught him so much, and he'd denied him. When his one chance to stand with him and really be there for him, he'd gotten violently angry and totally denied him. And then he looked at me. I think Peter's repentance was deep, genuine, and real. And I'd always have loved when Jesus, one of the first appearances, he says, and I believe it was one of the women, he said, go tell the disciples and Peter. Jesus is so incredible. He just always is thinking of others. Go tell the disciples and Peter. Could you imagine Peter when that message got there? Jesus is alive and he said to tell you specifically. What hope, that spark that must have been there in Peter's heart because of it. And then he sees him. And then again, we know we're up on the Sea of Galilee again, if you remember the story, where Jesus comes again and says, let your nets down. They get the 153 fish. They come in and they're eating them. And Jesus asks Peter, how many times do you love me? He asks him three times. Three times denied, three times do you love me? And I believe Peter's heart again was broken. But there had been a change that had taken place in him. It wasn't the proud Peter. It was, Lord, you know all things. I surrender to you. You know I love you. I'm yours. I trust you. We see the repentance. And then we see his deliverance from self. Denial. That denial of, no, I'm not going to do it my way. I'm going to do it God's way. You know a change has come across Peter and in Peter because he can stand before the council and say, we must obey God rather than men. And he can leave after he's been beaten because he stood for Christ. And he can count it. They rejoice that they had been worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. Ouch. I know for me, when sometimes you stand up and say that thing that might be a little uncomfortable because you're a Christian and you people are talking about things, and I'll tell you, in today's world, it's becoming more and more challenging because there isn't a real super great acceptance of Christian values, Christian norms. And there are places you open your mouth as a Christian and you are the intolerant, bigoted racist. Let me see, I believe that sin is still sin, no matter what form it takes. But being willing to stand up and say that, you're going to get some suffering. Yes, I believe that gossip, I believe that adultery, I believe that premarital sex, I believe that homosexuality, I believe that judging and being judgmental of others, all are sin. And wrong. Gosh, everybody goes, oh, thank you, I was wondering. No. But here's the key. If you have the strength and the courage to actually stand up and say that and you get the persecution, the looks, the comments, the, oh, you are so intolerant, you're so old-fashioned. I'd say, no, I'm God-fashioned. But do we walk away from that rejoicing? Ugh. Or do we go, oh, he likes me, it's just odd. No, these guys were rejoicing because they understood denying self is truly a route, the route to true discipleship and to becoming what God has created us all to be. And this story of Peter is really the story that all of us need to go through. And we continue to throughout our lives. The sense of, no matter how long you've been a follower of Christ, realizing, coming to the point, you know, there's been some awesome things. Some great things have taken place. And a couple of things to think about. You know, it's possible to be an incredibly earnest, godly, devoted, and successful worker in the kingdom of God, and yet, guess what? The power of the flesh and self can still be pretty strong. How quickly do we get offended at others? How quickly do we judge others? How quickly do we, in the guise of, oh, I want you to pray for somebody, but here's their problem. How quickly do we fall into those areas that we know God doesn't want us to go? It's possible to be incredibly effective and yet still have real challenges with our self. God has so much power that He wants to work in and through us. But part of it is realizing that the self is still there so that there can come the ability to learn and to know how to deny self. Deny self. God wants us to come to the point where, you know what? There may be some weeping bitterly. I wish, and there are times when incredibly powerful, awesome services where God moves mightily and you're just, rah, everything's awesome. Those are great. But I don't know about you, my life has changed the most when there's been some serious weeping of bitter tears because I see the change that needs to take place. The self that is still there and in repentance, crying in brokenness. And saying, God, I know I'm still so unworthy. Like a song that I say, I don't deserve your love. I still don't. I can't earn it. But God, please forgive me. Change me. That's where real change comes. That's where real change comes. And here's the second point. You know, first you can be really earnest and still have a lot of self. The second thing is, it's the work of Jesus that shows us the self that's in us. And here's the challenging part, that the Holy Spirit's the one that shows us. You have to be careful, because sometimes you want to go out and, okay, I'm going to beat myself on the back 15 times a day to deny myself. That's not what He's talking about. We can get into our works mentality of, I'm going to work to deny self. I'm going to deny myself. I'm so proud of myself. How much I deny me? It's the Holy Spirit that does it. It's relationship with Jesus. It's loving Him and being close to Him and being as close to Him as we can. So close that we're in fellowship with Him. He's teaching us. He's helping us. We're in a body together that's helping us and encouraging us. And even in the midst of our failures, they still love us. And He still loves us and helps us. It's being there with Him every day that transforms us and changes us. And yet, in the midst of it, it's that look that Jesus gives us. How many have ever had Jesus give you that look that just breaks you into a million pieces in a good way? Because you know He's not there condemning you. He may be convicting you, but He's not there to condemn, to beat you up. He's there to say, change. I'm here to help you change. I'm here to give you the power to be transformed and to stay transformed. And that's my prayer for all of us this morning, is that we stay close to Jesus. That we stay so close to Him that we let Him work in our lives to transform us so that we can first see self and then learn to, through repentance, deny self. And I believe that each one of us as we go through, as we talked about this. You probably know there's an area where maybe self's been a little bit too selfie. And as I close this morning, I'm going to pray and simply ask you to pray together with me in the areas where you need Jesus in His love, in His power, in His forgiveness, in His transformational essence of who He is. Let Him work in you and expect to see change and expect to see a renewed ability to say yes to Him and no to you and enjoy that tremendously. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank You for Andrew Murray and for his ability to encapsulate this and put this together in a way that is easily understood. And I thank You, Holy Spirit, that You are using it to help us become more like You. I know each one, God, we were created to be like You, Jesus. You have made us, You've made the provision for us to come back to You. You've made the provision for us to be transformed into Your image. You make the provision for us to, through repentance, really appropriate all that You have for us. And Lord, really the only thing that stands in the way of that is us. So I know in my life, Lord, in the areas where I've let self, where I've literally, Jesus, denied You and chosen self, I repent of those. And I ask You to forgive me. And I pray that each one here, if there's something going on that they simply would, say, Jesus, please forgive me for denying You and choosing self. And we confess it. We repent of it. We ask Your forgiveness. We receive Your forgiveness, Lord. We see that look. And we thank You for Your love and for Your forgiveness, and we ask You to help us, Lord, to go forth and to make the choice to deny self and choose You. Because we know You're able to give us the power to do it, and Lord, the ability to walk in the freedom that comes from choosing You. Pray that we'd be able to encourage one another as we do this together. And we thank You. We thank You, Jesus. We ask Your continued blessing upon this day that, Father, You would be glorified on this Father's Day and that we would remember You and help us to be children that make You smile. In Your name, amen.